This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, this is Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
I'm Pat Nevin.
I'm Mason Mount. You're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back to another episode. Apparently the 487th episode of the London is Blue podcast. As Dan, you're trying to enlighten us a little bit as we get rolling into this one. 487 episodes. I think someone said that that's essentially like one episode a week for 9 years. But this is only year seven, which means like our episodes are like this. And then just taken off in the last 2 years.
Another four episodes this week.
I know.
How much can y'all really listen to? Let's put that to the test.
We Tesla supercharged this podcast is what we did.
Well, I hope we have something to talk about because we played Barnsley in the FA Cup, and that is what this podcast is all
we
about.
We didn't. We played them in the Carabao Cup.
The Carabao Cup. The other cup. A cup. I'm not even going to call it the Mickey Mouse Cup. That's unfair that people say that. So clearly, I'm already halfway down the script. But we want to kick it off with the little three-word match review. Dan, before I throw to you, there is one that I thought I personally really enjoyed because, well, a lot of Averts in here. I mean, I think that if you were to do your word cloud again, it is all about Kai Averts. So I don't know. I lost it. You go ahead and start going and I'll find it again. There's just so many.
Were you trying to go for the one that was said Caballero is 39? I thought that was one that you definitely would. I did mess up, though, and I said three-word math review. So there were a couple here that said geometry is useless. Which is,
shout out to Tosser of Coin. He called you on that one.
You know, I mean, look, you make a mistake. Our friend Iosine was really hated trigonometry. So, yes, that's it's quite wonderful. Lots of hat trick heroes have chill bark. So, you know, trying to kind of get the names in there, Nick. I think, you know, probably a very pun-heavy one for you. I thought you would like all these.
Yeah, there were a lot. I like Vignesh with Yabba Dabba Doo. That's always a good one. That's a funny one. There were some attempts in here at wordplay. There were some.
Easy as Kai. Shout out to James.
Easy as Kai is nice. That's a good one.
I felt bad for Righteous Uncut Gemstone. Stream didn't work. My man.
Sorry, bro.
I'm sorry. I hope you didn't pay the £10 for the EFL stream and it didn't work because that would have been even worse. Look, Ben Chilwell's haircut. There's just killer Kai coming. Shots. There's nothing wrong with that. It's great. I think, again, the Kai Averts was massive. I put different level scene, right? Today we saw significantly different levels between Chelsea and Barnsley. And don't worry, that's a good thing, Nick. That is what we are hoping to see. Not an evenly matched tie here. Glad to see that it was noticeable that we were much better than them. What about you?
I went with, Tammy Abraham. I thought Tammy ran the show today. I like Tammy.
I think he's beefed up. I think he looked stronger.
He looks big. Well, he called me the other day. He's like, "Hey, man, how did you get so ripped?" And I was like, "Look, dude, you got to get on the regiment, bro. You got to get on the regiment."
Unfortunately, this joke isn't going to benefit you on that one.
Look, ripped, fat, whatever it is.
Well,
he's done it.
That.
He's done it, and I'm proud of him.
Tammy, don't get fat. Don't do it. Dan, what about you?
I went with new car smell. You know, you had your Thiago Silva, you had your Ben Chilwell, you had your Kai Havertz actually on display. You know, you got a chance to soak it in, to enjoy the goodness of
Emerson,
new things
back,
can bring.
You know,
Emerson playing right wing for hopefully the last time, never.
Anyways, we'll talk about that later. I was surprised you didn't say something about how you're so upset with Frank Lampard's attire today. I saw that tweet. Everyone did.
It's just so odd.
He wore actual pants.
track the cargo pants too, no doubt. Like they had some type of like side pocket. Yeah, with like an outer button.
It's a weird. Tough look, man. Everyone's in the sweaters now, by the way. Y'all notice that? It's like sweater it's central weird. Up in there.
Yeah. Anyways, next time, make sure to get your three-word match review in so we can cover it if it's a good one. But obviously, in case you're confused on what we're going to be talking about today, Kai Havertz. Havertz. So much Kai Havertz because he had himself a day. We'll do a little update on the Cobham crew because a ton of them played today. And then we'll also do a little debut darlings. As Dan said, the new car smell thing is it's all about a lot of people making debuts. So might as well run through them. But real quick, gratitude time. Look, I know some of you guys complain about it. You're like, hey, the first 10 minutes, this and that. Just know that like at one point in time, you probably had this moment and we just want to continue to share it. It'd be really shitty of us if we just were like, all right, no more thank yous, because like we genuinely do want to thank people. So for Patreon, thank you, Matt. Jack, welcome back. We're glad you're in a better situation now. And Jeremy, welcome to the Discord. The fun. Dan, you have Apple Podcasts as well as we inch closer to that 1,000th review in the United States Apple Podcast Store.
Well, and also shout out to Jay for talking to us about how long the beginning section of the podcast could be, because we appreciate the you know critical feedback too. But you know, glad we keep him company during his late night shifts. So that's a good thing. But for Apple Podcast reviews, you guys are just we're drowning in 5-star reviews. It's crazy. You know, I don't know how I'm keeping my head above water. We had a friend. Fredno 8, we had H Kusa, we had Nevin E, we had Gongs Gory, we had Guy MG, BK Henji 949, CFC in Memphis, Gino Wai, and then Salhi Tepar, we had Jim Bowden 18. As a crazy list. Sorry for Sahil who wanted to be the 1,000th. You are not the 1,000th, unfortunately. Apologize, but we're getting closer to it, Nick. We're getting closer to 1,000 reviews and ratings on the Apple Podcast Store in the U.S. Help get us there.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tremendous occasion. We're going to have to figure out how to celebrate that appropriately. Perhaps we'll do some sort of fun thing. I don't know. Look, yeah. I'm in control of that. So as a person who throws a hell of a party when allowed in normal non-COVID circumstances, I don't know.
An online party for all 1,000 Apple Podcast review leavers. Look, Nick, it's something that we think is kind of cool that we're working with Bruce on our graphics. He's doing a lot of our video stuff, and he had an interesting idea, something we could do to kind of incentivize people maybe to go check out our YouTube channel. It's growing quite well. We're almost to 13,000 subscribers.
Look, this has been a goal of ours that we executed poorly for a number of years. Was to grow our YouTube, and we finally kind of hacked it a little bit and figured out how to do YouTube appropriately. But it doesn't mean we want to stop with progress, right? We want to keep going. We're achievers. That's what we want to do. And so Bruce comes up with this idea, and he's like, "Hey, what if we gave away a new kit, right, to incentivize new subscribers on the old YouTubes?" And we're like, "Look, why not? You know, we're Scrooge McDucking it over here with money. We're just, you know, piles of cash everywhere." So we decided that's going to be the thing that we're going to do is we're going to Scrooge McDuck it with a kit giveaway. Brandon, details, Lego.
Yeah, look, Kai Havertz had himself a day. We talked about it. So what we're going to do is giveaway on the channel. So to do that, to win a Kai Havertz home, away, or third, your choice. You must be subscribed. And you leave a comment telling us essentially that you've subbed and that you want a chance to enter. So you got to leave a comment letting us know you're there for the kit. And I'm going to work with Bruce and we're going to find a winner at random. We'll message you on YouTube. We'll get your address so we can get it shipped to you from the Chelsea Megastore. Really excited about doing it. But again, only on YouTube. I promise, though, we will be doing stuff on all of our platforms this season. A new way for us to give back. Now that we're hanging out with Blue Wire and doing some new stuff. So go check it out. London is Blue Podcast on YouTube. All right, just before the 10-minute mark, gentlemen, we're making progress.
We did it.
It is time for said match review. It was Barnsley in the Carabao Cup, I'm told, this past Wednesday, September 23rd. It was at Stamford Bridge, sadly still empty, but Lee Parker making the stadium feel full with his announcements, because, boy, he had six of them to announce after the lineup. Chelsea 6, Barnsley 0. Predictions. Look, Nick, I'm going to let you go through them this time. I feel like I'm talking a lot already.
Yeah, more me is what this show really needs. Look, Brandon coming through, thinking we were going to concede two goals today. Shameful. Yeah. Shameful. You had a 4-2 win. Dan, with a 4-1 win. Your boy predicted a 6-0 victory. Yep. Unbelievable. Just crushed it, you know? So I'm back on the board. No, I predicted a 3-0. So, but I did get the clean sheet, so in your guys' face.
Yeah, we're a bit all over the board on those. You know, we'll have to go through social media. I wonder if anyone did pick 6-0. You know, they were lower opposition, but that's pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Wildly, could have been 10, if we're being honest.
Like, they could have also had 3 or 4.
Also true, which I'm going to bring up later. Don't you worry about it. So let's run through those goals. Coming to you from the Fifth Stand app, the only official Chelsea FC app. They have the most exclusive interviews, release the news, everything on there. And apparently you can even chat during the match if you want, but you should be on our Discord. So over to you.
Chelsea begin their Carabao Cup campaign with the visit of Championship side Barnsley, who've already played 2 ties to get to this stage. Is a Blues debut tonight for Thiago Silva. Mount just got away from him. Oh, that's a poor touch though, and Abraham's won it back, and Tammy Abraham has his first goal of the season. And slightly against the run of play, Chelsea ahead just before the 20-minute mark. Mount, good footwork. Can you take him away from Halmer? And here's Havertz, his first Chelsea goal. A big moment for the German. Mount made it, but Abraham played his part too. And Havertz with a straightforward finish. Collins has put his defender under a bit of pressure with that back pass. Barkley's pinched it back after great work from Havertz and swept it in for 3-0. And that might be good night, Barnsley. Barkley scores in round 3 for the second year in a row. Kovacic looking to pounce on another mistake here. Abraham wants it in the middle. It's a lovely touch for Havertz. On target again. And Chelsea beginning to enjoy themselves now. Great ball round the corner from Abraham for Havertz. Collins has made a mess of it. Havertz is going to walk it in for his hat-trick. What a night for Kai Havertz. 3 goals. And Chelsea cruising. Here's Chilwell, the substitute. Great ball in. Olivier Giroud pays it the compliment it deserved. Well, a hat-trick for Havertz, and on his debut, an assist for Chilwell too. No wonder he's happy.
So, Havertz, huh? A little hat-trick coming out of that. I think that's something we're going to round out about.
Do we have a favorite goal just before we go into the actual match review and lineup? What was everybody's favorite goal of the day?
I mean, the third one was just filth. I mean, it was absolute, utter filth. How are you going to, first of all, like, controlling that ball over the top is hard enough. And then you're going to control it so well that you're going to nutmeg the keeper. And then you're going to casually run in front of him and just do a little tappy into the middle.
Just a little Brad tappy. Collins, former Chelsea
tough
academy project. Wow. You got to witness him just like die inside as he watched it.
You watched his soul leave his body. That was the moment. Yeah,
he had pace for a second, and then he threw his head up in the air in disgust. Oh, it was glorious.
I personally thought the second one was one of the most fantastic things I've seen. The Tammy Abraham dummy. You know, for Kai Havertz running in behind. That was the one that, like, I stood up for. I was just like, the awareness. You can, like, see it. But, like, remember, we have a huge angle. We can see behind him. he had to check and see out of his peripherals, and the second one was phenomenal. So anyways, you guys can hit us up on social, tell us which one you loved. Plenty to choose from. All right, Dan, lineup time. Let's run us through it so we can get into some of the stats here and then break down the match.
All right, well, starting lineup included Willy Caballero between the sticks, Azpilicueta back with the arm man, Tomori, and Thiago Silva and Emerson make up your back line. Barkley, Kovacic, and Havertz would be your midfield, even though the way that it came out as a lineup made it look like Mason Mount was going to be in the midfield. Not true. You had Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham, and Hudson-Odoi as your front three. This was the first Chelsea start for Thiago. Kai Havertz actually in the number 10 role. And on the bench, Nathan Baxter, Reece James, Kurt Zouma, Chilwell, Jorginho, Werner, and Giroud. We did see Giroud, we did see Chilwell, and we did see Zouma. No Kepa on the bench, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Probably not, but you know, for now at least. So anyways, stats. Look, Chelsea with an overwhelming 69% possession is what exactly you would expect. 17 shots to their 14, though. It's not like they had a dry day out. Thankfully, we had 11 on target. They had 9 on target, all right? Willie's probably exhausted after this match. Pretty much even on corners. Not corners, 6-2, but tackles, offsides, and really no cautions. It was a pretty straightforward match, which is what you'd expect when you see kind of this different, the wide gap between the two teams in it. So let's just go ahead and not make you sit around and wait for us any longer. Kai Havertz, unfortunately, was subbed off for the red card against Liverpool. Didn't have the greatest maybe debut. Had himself an absolute day. All right, 63 touches, 3 goals. It was his first professional hat trick for club. I believe he had one for U19 Germany. 4 shots on target, 2 key passes, 2 big chances created, 4 of 6 successful dribbles, 9 of 15 ground duels won, 5 tackles, 1 resulting in a goal.
Yeah, that was also incredible, by the by.
So, statistically, pretty rock solid. But Nick, from an eye test, what do we like about this performance from Kai beyond everything, beyond the stats, beyond his hair, beyond the way he glides across the pitch?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the weird part about these matches, you know, because we were at the first Carabao Cup match last year, and we beat Grimsby Town 7-0.
That's fun.
And what's awkward about this is his first, like, 10 minutes was awkward and misplaced passes and looked a little slow off the jump. And then it was just, like, a switch just flipped in his brain and he just went into full dominance mode. Honestly, this performance reminded me of when Pulisic got his hat trick last year. Like, obviously that was in the Premier League and probably a little bit more impressive than beating Barnsley, but to get the monkey off your back, you know, to use the turn of phrase there is really important. You know, if he goes 4 or 5 more matches without scoring a goal, you know, you start to have to deal with the press and the pressure and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, it is so clear that he is class. You know, it's so clear that he has that extra special thing to him. You know, we talked about the goals earlier and what we liked about them, but the point that you just made up, Brandon, with his tackle that led to the Barkley goal, right? Like, that's hustle. That's just pure hustle. He didn't have to do that. He was playing number 10. He already had 3, like, or he already had 2 goals at that point. But like the awareness to do the extendo leg in and around the goal is, it's just super impressive. And Dan, for me, it's special enough to get the 3 goals in the fashion that he got them, but to do the extra work around and to track back and to try and win the ball, and not always successfully, but to try at least, is impressive.
It was a clinic. It was an absolute clinic from Kai. And I think he's going to get described occasionally as looking disinterested or lazy because he has, it's like Alonso does, where there's just the gait and the way that he moves his body is just not the same, not standard, right? And so it's just going to be interesting to see how he gets profiled over time. But it's the old adage of like, when you're really great at something or you're really cool, you don't need to tell other people that you're cool. Like if you have to say, oh, I'm a cool guy or I'm funny, like that underplays what you are. Kai Havertz doesn't need to tell anybody he is a great footballer. It is just done with everything that that man does on the pitch, from the commitment, from the passes. And I think it's actually, it's almost rattling our players a little bit because they're not used to playing with someone as good as that, who has that forward, you know, forward looking ability, who is able to interlock play and did so well. I know we'll talk more about Tammy and the Cobham crew later, but man, the potential partnership, when you think about placing Kai in the 10, Tammy up top, Werner maybe out on the left, maybe put Mount on the right. You put that up against West Brom this weekend, Brandon, and I don't know, do you score 8 goals, 9 goals? Because West Brom are terrible. They're a championship side. It should be possible.
Maybe. I mean, potentially.
Good luck Barnsley, to Brana.
Barnsley at the bottom, obviously West Brom, we're at the other end of said table. So you'd assume there's a little bit of a difference. You know, cup competition, I'm assuming that wasn't Barnsley's strongest 11. Here's an overreaction. You could be like, well, that's our new strongest 11. Not really.
Nope.
But the way these guys play and the attack, I mean, look, Callum Hudson-Odoi, we will get into that. Didn't really have a great opportunity. But I guess if I'm sticking with Kai, like, I think what I like the most about him and the performance today were the runs. Like, that dude busts along to get up the pitch and into attacking space. I'm not going to make the leap to say, look at these Lampard-esque runs from said midfielder. But he has a sense of scoring. He knows where to be. He'll pop up, you know, like I said, in behind Tammy. He'll run beyond Tammy. He'll get into the box late if someone's getting to the end line so they can cut it back. We just saw a lot of different runs from him. Again, look, he had a ton of space to operate. But what you get to see in these matches are, what are the instincts, right? When you do have time and space and everything's going your way, are you at least getting in the right spot? You know, we still saw Barkley put his head down on a counterattack and dribble into a defender. And you're just like, you had runners, Ross. Kai seemed to be able to make the right decision every single time he got it. And I think that's a testament to the stats that I read out at the beginning. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he needs to do to be successful. It's just going to continue to refine and sharpen and get used to the Premier League. But to your point, Dan, thankfully, we have West Brom at the weekend. It's not another Liverpool. It's not top six team like Man City, anything like that. We should have more time and space on the ball to hopefully, you know, let these guys continue to gel and make the right decision.
The telltale sign of a good player is how much better they make the players around them, right? Whether by taking on more responsibility or just bringing them up with them, right? I think Kai Havertz is the latter. I think he's going to make Tammy better. I think he's going to unlock a lot of defenses, especially low blocks. And, you know, we left the Liverpool match asking, all right, maybe not striker, maybe not right wing. What's a position that he's going to really thrive in? Again, it's Barnsley. They are not a top level, you know, of competition. So we'll see. Is it a 10? Is it a little deeper? I don't know. Today felt better. It felt a lot better. He looked more comfortable. He looked more confident. And, you know, when you get the goals that go along with the effort, you know, that's all you can ask. So it's no wonder that Frank started him today. He needed to build the confidence and the rapport with the team. He did just that. Mission accomplished. Now let's do it in the Premier League.
Naz bringing us the quotes after the match from Lampard. Lamps on the hat trick here. Quote, I am delighted with Kai. It was everything I wanted for him. He had no preseason. It was a great night for Kai, and it is the first of many for him. End quote. Pretty standard run-of-the-mill quote from Lamps. But I can tell you, he obviously, we all know how ecstatic he's going to be. And I think the one big point there is he had no preseason. He was still involved with Leverkusen as they were maybe going to go into the Europa League, and he's getting ready to go to the Germany camp. So at least he was like training and staying sharp in general. But again, there's no preseason with Chelsea. There's a lot of adapting to do. and he's picking it up on the fly. Huge, huge night for him as far as confidence goes. I did laugh right away. He scored his hat trick and the ball popped out and he just smashed it with his left foot into the stands. Now, thankfully, no one's there. So he can go get the ball. And then he had it at the end of the match. He'd gotten his hands on it again. I'm sure everyone signed it. But I was like, if that's his first professional hat trick, he probably hit it. And they were like, oh, wait, can I get that? Can I need that, actually.
You saw Frank, too, last point before we go to the break. Like, Frank was visibly frustrated with our lack of finishing.
Oh, yeah.
On a six-goal night. Frank was losing his mind when Mason and Ross missed sitters. Like, so for Kai to go clinically finish like he did in style, Frank has to be delighted. Now, this was a run-of-the-mill quote, but inside is where he felt that one.
All right. Well, spoiler from Nick. We are going to move on. I'm really excited to talk about the Cobham crew with Tammy, Callum, Fick, and Mason after with this match for sure. And we'll get into the debut Dogs. Then obviously, you know, what are we still asking about? What questions do we still have after this performance? But sounds like you guys are enjoying the new ads, obviously, Nick.
You're welcome.
I'm shocked at how many people have come in and be like, Nick's reading of the Manscaped ad is so good. It's so nice.
You guys have no earthly idea the peril I went to get one good read on that. The peril, the absolute peril. The people at Manscaped did me no favors in that one, but we crushed it. That's what we did.
And that's why you need to get back into Discord. You did get a lot of compliments on that, Nick. So kudos to you. But anyways, we do have more ads for you guys.
Brandon, when you're the coolest person in the room, baby, you don't have to tell people.
All right. Quick, insert ad break now. Quick, cut it, Jake, slide it.
Fellas, 2020 has made it hard for us to stay as hygienic as we should be. Luckily, our partners at Manscaped have made it easier to do just that. Manscaped is on a mission to change the grooming game with their below-the-waist grooming and hygiene products, and they just released their products in the UK, Canada, and Australia. As I'm the hairiest person on the show, Brandon and Dan both elected for me to do this ad read. But, to their chagrin, I actually own Manscaped products already, including the Lawnmower 2.0 trimmer, but they have gone and done even better. The Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer offers a replacement ceramic blade with advanced skin-safe technology, which helps to reduce grooming accidents, which is a very good thing. The waterproof technology also allows for you to groom in the shower and for up to 90 minutes. They also just released their Shears 2.0 nail kit, which is the perfect add-on to the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. Their perfect package comes with two free gifts and other liquid formulations to complete your grooming routine. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free so that you know you're in good hands. They even have a crop reviver to keep you fresh in the steamiest of conditions. Their foot duster foot deodorant is so good that it can reduce even the odor of the smelliest, dirtiest feet. All of this means that in the middle of the summer, with peak humidity, that you're doing everything you can to stay fresh. Use the code LONDONISBLUE and get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. If you want to do a better job of grooming, all you have to do is go to their site, hit a few buttons on your phone, and you will change your life for the better. Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with the code LONDONISBLUE, all one word. Upgrade your grooming routine with the luxury products of Manscaped.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/podcast. This is their best available offer anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. All right, we're back with Nick has left us, though, unfortunately. For some reason, he disconnected, Dan. If he texts us, just go with it. All right, look, update on the Cobham crew. Again, Tammy Abraham, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Fikayo Tomori, Mason Mount. Dan, I was thrilled by Tammy specifically. He was my man today. Who is your standout of those four?
Oh, that's tough. You know, I think it's funny because you think about this group, and Lampard had said heading into this match, I think there was some criticism initially around this idea of why were we not going to use youth players? It's a cup game. This is the opportunity to do it. Lampard highlighted that, so just due to some of the COVID restrictions right now, getting players into the first team building, out of the first team building with the academy adds a little bit of additional complexity. And you also think about wanting to get a lot of these players back up to match fitness or get them syncing with one another. Probably not the cup game where we're going to do that, and probably not the next one either versus Tottenham. I think Tammy's a great shout. I want to go into him. I want to talk, you know, give Nick the opportunity to the eye test, but I would like to give a little shout to Callum as well. And like,
Callum like an angry is getting shout, like a fatherly shout.
No, I think it's just an attaboy. You know, I think
an
that
attaboy.
Look, he probably in the first 15, 20 minutes, if some of that finishing had been better, could have gotten himself a few assists today. You know, I think we kind of, we all, you know,
could
Jorginho
have himself a goal. First 10 minutes.
Could have had himself a goal. You know, we've always seen the highlight clips of like the Jorginho, like missed assist or the pre-assist balls that he plays. Callum actually had some like legitimate like opportunities to have things converted that didn't get put through. But, you know, once he got on the left versus playing on the right-hand side, looked so much better. Really, really started to play his way in. And that's, you know, with Emerson as your support initially, but when you kind of then get an opportunity to do it with Chilwell and others, you see the change. And I think it's promising is the thing to me, right? Like, he is not nowhere near the finished article. He is not going to be starting every match, but what you want to see is him getting opportunities in 20, 25 minute blocks on a regular basis so that he can get to the level that we know he's capable of achieving. And so that was exciting to me. It was like a 7 out of 10 performance. So nothing to kind of write home about, but I think in general, it's setting a foundation. If we can kind of build upon that to get him back to a place where he needs to be, Nick.
I think 7's a little generous, but you know, fair enough. Whatever. You know, like, I'm not, you can't be mad at a 6-0. Okay, you can have.
Oh, you can try, Nick. You can try.
I could try, but I'm poly positive over here, baby. I'm ready to talk about Tammy. I think Cal. You know, we were actually texting with Mike Ryan or in our like expanded group thread, the London is Blue crossover thread with Chelsea mic'd up, and I think he did make a good point. It's like when he presses, it's very obvious. Like when he's trying too hard, you know, and it's like, when you let the game come to him, that, you know, especially in the second half when he's on the left end, your points are accurate. It's like he started floating in some incredibly dangerous balls into space, and you're like, okay, well, if you can do that, like, then we have a whole different thing to talk about now. The problem is that he's like the third option, at the left side winger. You know, it's like, you're not going to unseat Pulisic if healthy, and then you have Timo to contend with, and then it's you. So, you know, learn, you know, your best shot is on the right-hand side. Just is what it is. So, transitioning to Tammy, who I thought was outstanding today. Tammy, much like Mason did at the beginning of last year, did not look like he was scared at all that Kai Havertz was in the team. Did not look like he was scared at all that Timo Werner was in the team, or on the team now, not in the game. Does not look bothered by any of it. It looks hungry. Looks like the swaggy Tammy from last year. And again, it's Barnsley. I know we're caveating it, but just had the air of confidence that he started last year with. Like, one of my favorite goal celebrations from all of last year was when he scored the winner at Arsenal. And he went over to the crowd and he just nodded his head, yes. Like, this, I am made to do this. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I was so impressed by the little things that he did today. I mean, he's my eye test moment. Like, it's not just the poacher's goal that he scored, which was the most poachery of poacher goals that you'll ever find. It's alert. He's alert. He was ready for it. Like, you're switched on, man. I see what you're doing. Like, it's very obvious. And there were times where he lost that at the end of last year. And so I'm glad to see that he was switched on. And then the little hold-up play, the spacing with Havertz to understand where he was going to run into a channel, you know, and where Tammy could find space. Like, the dummy, obviously, people are going to point to as, like, an incredible thing. But there were other moments in that are really top class. And, you know, look, all you can do if you're Tammy or if you're Giroud is just play your best and see what happens, right? And I don't know. I think he played really well.
I think he's been hanging around Olivier Giroud too much. I mean, the assists and the flicks that he had today were fantastic. I mean, obviously he had the dummy, which I'm still excited about. He had the layoff to Havertz, I think, for his second or third. Can't keep track of these. He was just involved a lot, you know. He was challenging for the high ball. He was very lively. Again, you talk about him able to step across the defender to create his own space for the first one. He looked dynamic, and I think that was great. If this keeps up, again, Barnsley, the amount of
underscoring, again, Barnsley.
Yeah, but like the amount of progress he would have made in a very short amount of time will be unbelievable. So I'm just more excited. Like I said, I think he looks bigger. I think he looks stronger. His confidence is not phased whatsoever. And he looks like he's got more tricks in the bag than what he had before. So it's just like, great, you're a young player developing, looking better, looking more confident. Like, these are all good signs. Because like I said, I think he'll have a big role to play this season and a lot of opportunities to score goals, and we're going to want him ready. And again, to see Giroud come off the bench and score and be dangerous as well, you're like, this looks like a pretty hungry team. I mean, look, they smelled a lot of blood in the water. And a striker is going to get real excited about that. But I was overwhelming, like very, very impressed with Tammy today. Mason, you know, was being Mason. He had a pretty good game. I'm going to get hit on in Discord for that. Look, he struggled a bit, you know, I'm going to kind of just like put him to the side, because I think we should stop or like wrap this section up eventually with Fikayo Tomori playing next to Thiago Silva. He went from not having played a competitive match since last February to now playing back-to-back matches. And you just have to assume that this is absolute crunch time for Frank, saying, all right, Fikayo, show me. Are you staying or are you going? Are you going to Everton, or are you going to make the grade and be a part of my plans this season, Dan? Because, you know, even Matt Law coming out before the match and being like, yeah, Rudiger's on the bench. Here's an update. His team are officially looking for a team in Germany or Italy to go play for. And so you got to hold him up and say, how did he do today? Did he do a good job? He's playing with someone who he's never played before. Fikayo Tomori, thoughts?
Very interesting, because we saw almost every appearance where Fikayo played last season, you know, sometimes in a back three, sometimes in, you know, a two pairing of a back four, typically on the left-hand side. And what was interesting is we saw Thiago Silva on the left-hand side, Fikayo Tomori on the right-hand side. And so I think what's maybe obvious to me is, if you are planning for a future without one of the center backs on our team, and you know, you have Christensen who's suspended, and then you have maybe Rudiger departing, question mark. If Thiago is going to be on the left, that means that the open spot is most likely going to be on the right. And that means that you're going to see Zuma and Fick kind of come in and out of the game, or be the kind of rotational center back, to maybe Thiago being ridden as our number one. And so, yeah, he looked good. I think the the challenge is when you haven't played in a very long time and consistently, you can look a little rusty. A couple times Thiago bailed out Fick, a couple times Fick bailed out Thiago, and it definitely was getting back in speed a couple times that Asby bailed out Fick. So again, the positive thing is we didn't concede a goal, and the defense held, and we have not had a chance to celebrate a lot of clean sheets over the past 15, 16 months. So I will take this one. I will credit the defense for holding stout. And maybe eventually we'll give Brandon an opportunity to say something about a goalkeeper. I don't know.
It wasn't the defense. They were leaky and and not like disciplined at all. You guys are full of it.
Does anyone have the champagne that we brought to celebrate this moment? Or
oh, my. I wish.
Clean sheet.
We did it. Yes. Like,
yeah. So I thought Fick was pretty good on the day. He had space. He's able to find passes. We know he's a good passer of the ball. Had no problem. He stepped to some good shots early, Nick. I was really happy with, because the midfield is where they kind of, we were a disaster today defensively. But when Barkley is like one of your holding mids, you're like, well, that's never going to work, obviously. Kovacic anyway. So I thought he did well based on kind of like the unstructured circumstances of just having pretty poor shape and balance defensively. He was able to step into some early shots, get in the way of some things, kind of make something happen when we were scrambling a bit in and around our box. So I thought overall he handled kind of the turbulence pretty well.
They're getting used to each other, man. Like, he has never played with Thiago Silva before, because nobody's played with Thiago Silva before. So, you know, I think let's give them a little bit of grace there. I mean, also, it has to be said, credit to Barnsley for coming out and actually trying to play. Mm-hmm. A lot of these matches, it's such a foregone conclusion at the beginning that, you know, most teams just try to not give up seven, mostly. And even though they gave up six, they at least were, they had a really good first half, to give them credit. Like, I know most of the goals came in, but Dan, it was not an easy 6-0.
The other thing is that you can't expect that when you make eight changes to your starting 11, you have multiple players who are making their first appearance or their first extended appearance in a very, very long time, or have not had a full preseason, that the match will lack a level of sharpness from Chelsea, even for the millions and hundreds of millions of pounds that have been spent on players. It is not going to look like we are the best side on the pitch for a few minutes, because they need to figure out who the hell they're passing to, where they should be, how fast they are in real game speed, because training, while training is important, training is not match speed. And so there is a bit of a difference there. And so I think Barnsley took advantage of the best time to take advantage of us, which was in the first moments of the game. And then once the goal scored, it flipped. Like, that is when it basically became an opportunity for us to go out and see just how many could we score.
A lot. Lots of goals. What do we predict? Hundreds of goals this season? I like it. We should do that. All right. Thiago Silva, we talked about him a little bit, obviously, because he's next to Fick. I mean, it didn't take long for the announcer to play their trump card on this one. The last time Thiago Silva played was in the Champions League final, and now you see him against Barnsley. Yes, correct. Step up, obviously, for Thiago in the late stages of his career. But
the fight in Barnes, I mean, has he ever, I don't know, man.
No, there was the tweet, I think it was Bruce's actually, where it was, I was going to tell my kids that this is Barcelona when it's a Chelsea six and then bar zero.
Yeah. And then the yellow kits, which is a pretty common way one for Barcelona. But anyways, Thiago Silva. So, helped us keep a clean sheet. So maybe he's the secret to that. You just insert and clean sheet done. I thought he's all right. I think 60 minutes was predetermined. Zuma was on at immediately 60-minute mark. So, I don't know, Nick. There was nothing special for me, but it wasn't. I mean, it was literally a friendly for him. It continued to get minutes, meet a couple guys on the pitch, and you shouldn't really have to worry about anything. But I guess I just didn't really see anything stand. Like, to me, Fick was stepping to shots. Silva just kind of seemed to be there, and maybe that's his role, is kind of caretaker, a little bit of a sweeper organizer.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're being a little harsh. He looked.
I don't mean it in a bad way. I'm just saying I felt like he was just I don't know.
He looked really solid to me. His passes went where they were supposed to. He did step into a few challenges. He read the game well. You know, like, it's what he does. Like, if you watched him over any of the last 7 years of PSG, like, he's not Kurt Zouma in physicality. You know, he's just not. I mean, very few people are, to be fair. But he's a reader of the game. I think he's going to gel with this team relatively quickly. And Dan, I don't know if you picked this up, but there seemed to be more yelling on the pitch today, which is what I like to see. I like to see a bunch of yelling. I like to see cross back for yelling. I like to see yelling back to the goalkeeper and the goalkeeper giving it back. Willie got upset a handful of times today, which was great to see.
Rightly so.
I think it kind of puts people in the right mindset. So the yelling, I'm A+ on the yelling.
Apparently, Fick speaks some French. I didn't know that. So maybe they have a connect. They're able to communicate a little bit better than I assumed.
Well, that's a plus positive point there. But yes, there was multiple tweets from the few journalists who were able to make it there talking about just how loud it was from the players and how many voices there were. You know, I think if you have a Thiago Silva, I think if you've got a Willie Caballero, you know, I think Tammy just wants to score everything, and that man will not be quiet. He will not be silenced in any capacity. So it's good. You know, I think they're getting it. They're gelling. And I just, man, like, we are not even at our final form yet. So West Brom, watch out. It's not going to be pretty this weekend.
Like, Kai, Christian, and Timo are like the silent assassins, like, in and out, dark of night. You don't even see him coming. Thiago is like the juggernaut. He's just going to run through the building. And so, like, you're just going to, I think you're going to notice a difference, because one of the things that we've talked about a number of times over the last handful of years that we've been doing this is, you know, this team does not always communicate well. You know, there isn't a ton. You have a lot of different players, a lot of different languages, all that kind of stuff. But yelling is universal, which I love.
Right. Naz tweeted that Thiago Silva already speaks four languages.
Portuguese, yeah, incredibly bright guy.
Yeah, Portuguese, obviously, because he's Brazilian. French, you'd assume Spanish. I don't know what the fourth is, but it's not English. He's been taking classes 5 days a week to learn enough English, which would be his fifth language. I can only imagine him and, like, David Luiz when they were at the back. It didn't matter. You could have, like, any country around them, and, like, they're good. I got it handled, boss. And that just shows you how committed he is to this, you know? And I'm sure they were vetting that out in the process of, like, hey, if you come here, what are you going to do to kind of help adapt sooner? He's like, well, might as well learn my fifth language while I'm here. Nothing else to do because the whole shutdown thing. So, I am excited though. I guess I had really low expectations because I didn't expect him to do anything today. So, you know, I just wanted to get minutes and kind of feel it out. And it was a very, pedestrian match for him, which is probably a good thing as he wanted to get there. The other one, Dan, that you're forcing in the script is, a late substitute appearance for, Chili B. That train is on its way, gets his first assist, landing a ball on Giroud's head, which wasn't hard because no one was around Olivier Giroud at the top of the six to get there. It was fun talking to Yannick about this because obviously, you know, he probably grandfathered that Chili B name that Chelsea ended up putting in their promo video of him. We've championed it very hard as well. Dude looks good. You know, I think I put in our text group, Ben Chilwell, Hakim Ziyech, Reece James. The crosses this season might break our fan base because corner kicks are going to go into the box. Even if it's a deep free kick, it's going to go into someone's head. Like, we are good as far as I'm concerned. And they haven't even really gotten into free kicks yet.
Oh, no. It's the amount of balls that will be there for our players to feast on this season is going to be quite wonderful. If you are a striker, if you are an attacking player in world football, why would you not want to be playing a forward position for Chelsea, knowing that you have that collection of players with some pretty gifted skills at delivering, you know, with a level of accuracy that is, you know, you know, probably, I mean, Liverpool would be the closest one with Robertson and with Trent Alexander-Arnold on the sides, kind of bringing them in. But we're getting to a point where we're going to be pretty dangerous there. I thought he looked good. Look, again, had a little bit of Achilles issue as he was coming into the side, you know, needed to get back up to full fitness. At this point, the game was pretty much over. It had been over for 60 plus minutes. So, you know, how much are you really going to see? But he looked sharp. He got into the game quickly. You know, he forced Emerson out to right wing. And, you know, just the rest was history. He got up there. He made an assist, Nick. And, you know, he looks like he's ready to go probably for the weekend.
That'll be interesting. I mean, if we'll see if he's ready for a rough and tumble West Brom. More tumble than rough these days, but yeah, we'll see. It wouldn't shock me if he got another sub appearance either, you know, because I think Alonso is probably enough for West Brom.
Just to quell some fears, Dan, not Achilles, heel injury for Chilwell.
Sorry, yes, yeah.
I think we're done with the Achilles for a while. All right, we
had more than enough. Thanks
for the decade or so. Yeah. We should be all right. But yeah, I real thrilled, real excited that Emerson Palmieri finally has a spot on the team playing winger. So
God.
Saucy.
There's the depth that we can see. Look, you can hate it all you want, Dan. I think you just need to accept the fact that Emerson Palmieri is now a left winger providing depth. All right. So let's wrap up here real quick for the Dan of the Matches. Things we're still asking about. Nick, yours is in all caps, so I have to assume it's important or you're angry. Either way, what are you angrily yelling about?
Correct. It is both of those things. Where Mendy at? Where is he?
Didn't need to be three words. That's over. You could have written a sentence.
I know. Where is he at? Someone tell me.
Lampard has been so excited that he announced it himself. He said he was going to be signed tomorrow.
Announced
after the match.
Just get in already. What are you doing?
Let him walk around at halftime, announce him to the crowd. Let Lee Parker do it in the middle of the match.
Yeah. I mean, you could have done it in the middle of play at this match. I mean, come on. Come on.
Sub him on? What a crazy move that would have been. He just shows up on the team sheet.
Look, Willie C gets the start at the weekend against West Brom. And then I think it'll be the Mendy show after that.
I don't know. This might be a good one.
Bro, he's going to be in training for like 2 days. Chill out.
Didn't stop Kai Havertz. All right. Dan, what? Oh, I'm sorry. No, I almost read yours. Never mind. You should read it.
It's okay.
It's yours.
Well, yeah. I'm going to read Brandon's next. So, yes, mine was, what happens next with Loftus-Cheek? And
what you
I
mean?
Know.
Yeah, Dan.
So, look, here's the reality of the situation. We had Ross Barkley playing today in the FA Cup. You had
Nolan
Loftus-Cheek.
What are we doing here, team?
That's,
come on,
that's my
guys.
Bad. I put that in your guys' heads.
I know, it's freaking me out. So we have him playing in the Carabao Cup, in the not Red Bull Cup, and it's just odd that he has been displaced, isn't finding himself in a starting 11. And I get Frank is talking about how, you know, you're gonna see this every week now. You're not always gonna see players in. It's all about the decisions I have to make. But like, this is, if you're looking to bring someone back into fitness, if you're looking to give them the opportunity to get back into conditioning, I feel like this is the match you would have wanted him to play in. And so, yes, Frank, you sly, handsome individual, and your way with words trying to convince me to not read into this situation, I'm reading into it. I am absolutely reading into that there's probably some path or some opportunity where he goes on loan this season so that he can play 70 plus minutes a match week in and week out to actually see what we can get done with him.
Breaking news. Dan just kicked Ruben Loftus-Cheek out of Chelsea.
Oh, gosh.
What a tough day. I don't think anyone's going to argue with you that he needs minutes. So, I don't know. All right. Well, this is kind of taking the wind out of my sail. But I said the bench said a lot today. New departures? ? Obviously, with Rudiger, Kepa not being on the bench, Nathan Baxter getting in. You talking about Ruben Loftus-Cheek not being there? I wonder how much this squad is still going to shake up right at the end of the season. You know, I don't think it's very noticeable that Alonso wasn't there, that it was Ben Chilwell and it was Emerson Palmieri. But again, those are decisions that Frank has to make. But I think, you know, he's giving people kind of final chances to prove themselves as we wrap up the last kind of couple weeks of the window. And we'll see. But that's the game, and that's how it's played. So speaking of games, Dan, you've got a Dan of the Match poll here. And then we can kind of review the other results and look ahead to what we got coming up next. But you done messed up, Dan.
Yeah,
I don't care if you had an overwhelming winner here. You done messed up on your selections.
Well, would you like to praise Willie Caballero for a minute before we go through the official?
You put Thiago Silva in, and then you put other. You didn't even name him. You literally were like, write one in. I couldn't even be bothered.
Super harsh.
Well, look, when you win 6-0, you could give a lot of players praise, Brandon. And so rather than trying Kovacic, to dilute the sample size.
Barkley.
Nine shots on target, Barkley, just saying.
Ultimately,
Barkley.
Yeah, also, what was it, more than we saved over the last five matches or something? It was just a stupid stat.
You usually make about three saves a match, so there's that.
Anyway, the actual names beyond other, which got 2%, which is the Brandon Busby crowdsourced trying to hack the election Green Party vote. Tammy Abraham with 16%, Silva with 1%, and then 81% rounded up for Kai Havertz. No surprise that the German, the Kaiser himself, ends up walking home with top Dan in the Match honors.
I like the Kaiser. I like the Kaiser a lot. I hate how much I like it.
Look, I'm out. You've absolutely spoiled this podcast. That's why we left it to the very end, because I can't be bothered.
Our friend PML said it was like an explosion of kynamite, you know?
Oh.
That was pretty good. I like that one. That one was pretty good. Yeah, okay. The Kaiser is all right. Yeah.
Well, speaking of West Brom, who we play next, they got knocked out to Brentford, the Bees, in a penalty shootout. Penalty kicks. You foreign fans, you'll love hearing me say that. West Ham put on a show, 5-1 over Hull. Man United needing a penalty to get on the board against Luton Town, but ended up getting the 3-0 result. And Newport County smashing Watford with a red card, 3-1. You still got Bristol City, Villa tomorrow, Lincoln City, Liverpool. Expect Lincoln City to walk away with that one. Yep. Man City, Bournemouth. So a little Nathan Ake derby right there. We'll see how that goes.
Dan, I got it for you. Here we go. The Kaiser was on a roll. Yes.
Yes. Oh, Kaiser,
poor
so
people
yay.
That have made it this far into the show, and they had to leave with that
Kaiser roll, baby. Let's go.
So, Dan, what's the situation with our next match? Going into this, we were supposed to play the winner of Tottenham and Leighton Orient. But unfortunately, Leighton's had a bit of a flare-up with COVID.
Yeah, we were going to play the O's. I mean, they were clearly going to, powered on by watching the All for Nothing Amazon Prime documentary, they were going to go out and know exactly how to beat Tottenham. However, the game was canceled after multiple players from Leighton were testing positive for COVID. Actually, and you know, we don't like to give Tottenham credit on this podcast very often. We will give them at least a passing compliment with a light golf clap that they did drive some of their fans and supporters to go purchase stuff from Leighton and raise some money that way. Because obviously these matches for an EFL side are super huge. You know, they can make up months of kind of match day revenue in a single cup match against a Premier League side. So kind of unfortunate for them in that regard. So we will be facing Tottenham in the next round.
Well, and they have
the cup.
Yeah, and they have that connection with Harry Kane, who obviously played there on loan, and then he bought their shirt sponsor and donated it to a charity this year. So those teams definitely have some good connections and chemistry going for them. But let's not act like Tottenham supported a food bank and then charged the city for usage of said facility.
It's an important moment, though, right? Because what we have to realize about this season, this will not be the last time that this happens. And when the season is so condensed already, You're doing 9 months of football in 7 months. There are going to be, you know, imagine a Premier League team where you have to sit out for 2 weeks just due to the quarantine status. You're going to have to make those matches up at some point, or you're just going to have to forfeit cup competition. Like, you know, it's going to be brutal this year, and this will not be the last time that this happens. So just prepare yourself.
All right. Well, here we go.
That's not your tagline.
It's not. I just, you talk to him and now you're just like, oh yeah, it's my guy. I can say what I want. All right. Look, cup competition is done and out of the way. It's West Brom at the weekend. Going to be excited. Look, Brana's back. I think that's an exciting just to see. He's been in Russia hanging out the last few years. I'm looking forward to see Brana back, even if it's at West Brom. You miss the guy, you know, he's still out there doing a job. So a little bit of nostalgia, but we'll be back. Dan, we're going to do a match preview. Is that right?
Question mark? Yes.
All right. So we'll be back yet this week before the match with another show. And then we'll obviously be back afterwards. But we're going to wrap this one up. So we do it the full distance, boys. An hour for a cup review. I'm impressed. So listeners, thank you so much for staying on this long. Nick and Dan, as always, for joining me. That's a wrap. So we will be back later this week to preview the West Brom match. But until next time, Chelsea fans, you know what to do. Keep the blue flag flying high.